Chapter 44, 1825. Washington, January 5, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. As the term of my service in this high trust will expire at the end of the present session of Congress, I think it proper to invite your attention to an object very interesting to me, and which in the movement on our government is deemed in principle equally interesting to the public. I have been long in the service of my country and in its most difficult conjunctures, as well abroad as at home, in the course of which I have had a control over the public monies to a vast amount. If in the course of my service it shall appear on the most severe scrutiny, which I invite, that the public have sustained any loss by any act of mine, or of others for which I ought to be held responsible, I am willing to bear it. If, in the other hand, it shall appear on a view of the law and of precedents in other cases that justice has been withheld from me in any instance, as I have believed it to be in many, and greatly to my injury, it is submitted, whether it ought not to be rendered. It is my wish that all matters of account and claims between my country and myself be settled with that strict regard to justice which is observed in settlements between individuals in private life. It would be gratifying to me, and it appears to be just, that the subject should be now examined in both respects with a view to a decision hereafter. No bill would, it is presumed, be presented for my signature which would operate either for or against me, and I would certainly sanction none in my favor. While here I can furnish testimony, applicable to any case, in both views, which his full investigation may require, and the committee to whom the subject may be referred, by reporting facts now with a view to a decision after my retirement, will allow time for further information and due consideration of all matters relating thereto. Settlements with a person in this trust, which could not be made with the accounting officers of the government, should always be made by Congress and before the public. The cause of the delay in presenting these claims will be explained to the committee to whom the subject may be referred. It will, I presume, be made apparent that it was inevitable that from the peculiar circumstances attending each case Congress alone could decide in it, and that from considerations of delicacy it would have been highly improper for me to have sought it from Congress at an earlier period than that which is now proposed, the expiration of my term in this high trust. Other considerations appear to me to operate with great force in favor of the measure which I now propose. A citizen who has long served his country in its highest trusts has a right, if he has served with fidelity, to enjoy undisturbed tranquility and peace in his retirement. This he cannot expect to do, unless his conduct in all pecuniary concerns shall be placed by severe scrutiny in a basis not to be shaken. This, therefore, forms a strong motive with me for the inquiry which I now invite. The public may also derive considerable advantage from the precedent in the future movement of the government. It being known that such scrutiny was made in my case, it may form a new and strong barrier against the abuse of the public confidence in future. James Monroe, Washington, January 10, 1825. To the House of Representatives of the United States. I should hasten to communicate to you the documents called for by the resolution of the House of Representatives of the 4th instant, relating to the conduct of the officers of the Navy of the United States in the Pacific Ocean and of other public agents in South America, if such a communication might now be made consistently with the public interest or with justice to the parties concerned. In consequence of several charges which have been alleged against Commodore Stewart, touching his conduct, while commanding the squadron of the United States in that sea, it has been deemed proper to suspend him from duty and to subject him to trial in these charges. It appearing also that some of those charges have been communicated to the department by Mr. Breno, political agent at this time of the United States at Peru, and heretofore at Buenos Aires and Chile, and apparently which has sanctioned, and that charges have likewise been made against him by citizens of the United States engaged in commerce in that quarter, it has been thought equally just and proper that he should attend here, as well to furnish the evidence in his possession applicable to the charges exhibited against Commodore Stewart as to answer such as have been exhibited against himself. In this stage the publication of those documents might tend to excite prejudices which might operate to the injury of both. It is important that the public servants in every station should perform their duty with fidelity, according to the injunctions of the law and the orders of the executive in fulfillment thereof. It is peculiarly so that this should be done by the commanders of our squadrons, especially on distant seas, and by political agents who represent the United States with foreign powers, for reasons that are obvious in both instances. It is due to their rights and to the character of the government that they be not censured without just cause, which cannot be ascertained, until, in view of those charges, they are heard in their defense, and after a thorough and impartial investigation of their conduct. Under these circumstances it is thought that a communication at this time of those documents would not comport with the public interest nor with what is due to the parties concerned. James Monroe, Washington, January 14, 1825. To the Senate of the United States. In compliance with the resolutions of the Senate, the 1st of the 21st and the 2nd of the 23rd of December last, requesting information respecting the injuries which have been sustained by our citizens by piratical depredations, and other details connected therewith, and requesting also information of the measures which have been adopted for the suppression of piracy, and whether in the opinion of the executive it will not be necessary to adopt other means for the accomplishment of the object, and, in that event, what other means it will be most advisable to recur to, I herewith transmit a report from the Secretary of State, and likewise a report from the Secretary of the Navy, with the documents referred to in each. In the very important question submitted to the executive as to the necessity of recurring to other more effectual means for the suppression of a practice so destructive of the lives and property of our citizens, I have to observe that three expedients occur, one by the pursuit of the offenders to the settled as well as the unsettled parts of the island from whence they issue, another by reprisal in the property of the inhabitants, and a third by the blockade of the ports of those islands. It will be obvious that neither of these measures can be resorted to in a spirit of enmity with Spain otherwise than in a firm belief that neither the government of Spain nor the government of either of the islands has the power to suppress that atrocious practice, and that the United States interposed their aid for the accomplishment of an object which is of equal importance to them as well as to us. Acting on this principle, the facts which justify the proceeding being universally known and felt by all engaged in commerce in that sea, it may fairly be presumed that neither will the government of Spain nor the government of either of those islands complain of a resort to either of those measures, or to all of them, should such resort be necessary. It is therefore suggested that a power commensurate with either resource be granted to the executive, to be exercised according to his discretion, and as circumstances may imperiously require. It is hoped that the manifestation of a policy so decisive will produce the happiest result that it will rid these seas and this hemisphere of this practice. This hope is strengthened by the belief that the government of Spain and the governments of the islands, particularly of Cuba, whose chief is known here, will faithfully cooperate in such measures as may be necessary for the accomplishment of this very important object. To secure such cooperation will be the earnest desire and, of course, the zealous and persevering effort of the executive. James Monroe, Washington, January 17, 1825. To the Senate of the United States. I transmit to the Senate, for its advice and consent as to the ratification, a treaty which has been concluded by a commissioner duly authorized for the purpose with the Quapo Indians in Arkansas for the cession of their claim to the lands in that territory. I transmit also a report from the Secretary of War, with other documents, relating to this subject. James Monroe, January 17, 1825. To the Senate of the United States. Agreeably to the resolution of the Senate of the 19th of May last, requesting the President to cause to be laid before the Senate a report showing the amount of duties which shall have accrued in importations into the United States for the three quarters of the year ending June 30, 1824, also the amount of duties which would have accrued in the same importations at such higher rates of duty as may be imposed by any act of the present session of Congress, I herewith transmit a report from the Secretary of the Treasury, which contains the information required. James Monroe, Washington, January 18, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. I communicate herewith to both houses of Congress copies of the convention between the United States and His Majesty the Emperor of all the Russias, concluded at St. Petersburg on the 5th, 17th, of April last, which has been duly ratified in both sides, and the ratifications of which were exchanged in the 11th instant. James Monroe, Washington, January 20. 1825. To the House of Representatives of the United States. In compliance with the resolution of the House of Representatives of the 19th of December, 1822, requesting the President to communicate what progress has been made in the execution of the act of the last session entitled An Act to Abolish the Indian Trading Establishments, with a report from the factories, respectively, as the same may be made to him, I herewith transmit a report from the Secretary of the Treasury, with documents, which contains the information requested. James Monroe, Washington, January 27, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. Being deeply impressed with the opinion that the removal of the Indian tribes from the lands which they now occupy within the limits of the several states and territories to the country lying westward and northward thereof, within our acknowledged boundaries, is of very high importance to our Union, and may be accomplished on conditions and in a manner to promote the interest and happiness of those tribes, the attention of the government has been long drawn with great solicitude to the object. For the removal of the tribes within the limits of the state of Georgia the motive has been peculiarly strong, arising from the compact with that state whereby the United States are bound to extinguish the Indian title to the lands within it, whenever it may be done peaceably and in reasonable conditions. In the fulfillment of this compact, I have thought that the United States should act with a generous spirit, that they should omit nothing which should comport with a liberal construction of the instrument and likewise be in accordance with the just rights of those tribes. From the view which I have taken of the subject, I am satisfied that in the discharge of these important duties in regard to both the parties alluded to, the United States will have to encounter no conflicting interests with either. In the contrary, that the removal of the tribes from the territory which they now inhabit to that which was designated in the message at the commencement of the session, which would accomplish the objects for Georgia, under a well-digested plan for their government and civilization, which should be agreeable to themselves, would not only shield them from impending ruin, but promote their welfare and happiness. Experience has clearly demonstrated that in their present state it is impossible to incorporate them in such masses, in any form whatever, into our system. It has also demonstrated with equal certainty that without a timely anticipation of and provision against the dangers to which they are exposed, under causes which it will be difficult, if not impossible, to control, their degradation and extermination will be inevitable. The great object to be accomplished is the removal of these tribes to the territory designated in conditions which shall be satisfactory to themselves and honorable to the United States. This can be done only by conveying to each tribe a good title to an adequate portion of land to which it may consent to remove, and by providing for it there a system of internal government which shall protect their property from invasion, and, by the regular progress of improvement and civilization, prevent that degeneracy which has generally marked the transition from the one to the other state. I transmit herewith a report from the Secretary of War, which presents the best estimate which can be formed, from the documents in that department, of the number of Indians within our states and territories and of the amount of lands held by the several tribes within each, of the state of the country lying northward and westward thereof, within our acknowledged boundaries, of the parts to which the Indian title has already been extinguished, and of the conditions on which other parts, in an amount which may be adequate to the object contemplated, may be obtained. Point. By this report it appears that the Indian title has already been extinguished to extensive tracts in that quarter, and that other portions may be acquired to the extent desired in very moderate conditions. Satisfied, I also am that the removal proposed is not only practicable, but that the advantages attending it to the Indians may be made so apparent to them that all the tribes, even those most opposed, may be induced to accede to it at no very distant day. The digest of such a government, with the consent of the Indians, which should be endowed with sufficient power to meet all the objects contemplated, to connect the several tribes together in a bond of amity and preserve order in each, to prevent intrusions on their property, to teach them by regular instruction the arts of civilized life and make them a civilized people, is an object of very high importance. It is the powerful consideration which we have to offer to these tribes, as an inducement to relinquish the lands in which they now reside and to remove to those which are designated. It is not doubted that this arrangement will present considerations of sufficient force to surmount all their prejudices in favor of the soil of their nativity, however strong they may be. Their elders have sufficient intelligence to discern the certain progress of events in the present train, and sufficient virtue, by yielding to momentary sacrifices, to protect their families and posterity from inevitable destruction. They will also perceive that they may thus attain an elevation to which, as communities, they could not otherwise aspire. To the United States, the proposed arrangement offers many important advantages in addition to those which have been already enumerated. By the establishment of such a government over these tribes, with their consent, we become in reality their benefactors. The relation of conflicting interests which has heretofore existed between them and our frontier settlements will cease. There will be no more wars between them and the United States. Adopting such a government, their movement will be in harmony with us, and its good effect be felt throughout the whole extent of our territory to the Pacific. It may fairly be presumed that, through the agency of such a government, the condition of all the tribes inhabiting that vast region may be essentially improved, that permanent peace may be preserved with them, and our commerce be much extended. With a view to this important object, I recommend it to Congress to adopt, by solemn declaration, certain fundamental principles in accord with those above suggested, as the basis of such arrangements, as may be entered into with the several tribes, to the strict observance of which the faith of the nation shall be pledged. I recommend it also to Congress to provide by law for the appointment of a suitable number of commissioners who shall, under the direction of the President, be authorized to visit and explain to the several tribes the objects of the government, and to make with them, according to their instructions, such arrangements as shall be best calculated to carry those objects into effect. A negotiation is now depending with the Creek Nation for the cession of lands held by it within the limits of Georgia, and with a reasonable prospect of success. It is presumed, however, that the result will not be known during the present session of Congress. To give effect to this negotiation and to the negotiations which it is proposed to hold with all the other tribes within the limits of the several states and territories in the principles and for the purposes stated, it is recommended that an adequate appropriation be now made by Congress. James Monroe, Washington, January 27, 1825. To the Senate of the United States. I transmit to the Senate a treaty concluded in this city with a deputation from the Choctaw Indians, accompanied with the report from the Secretary of War, with a copy of the correspondence connected with the negotiations, for the advice and consent of the Senate. James Monroe, Washington, February 2, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. I communicate herewith to both houses of Congress copies of the alterations in the Treaty of Peace and Friendship of August, 1797, between the United States and the Bashaw Bey of Tunis, concluded at the Palace of Bardo, near Tunis, in the 24th of February last, and of treaties between the United States and the Sauk and Fox tribes of Indians and the Eowe tribe of Indians, concluded at the city of Washington on the 4th of August last, which have been duly ratified. James Monroe, Washington, February 4, 1825. The President pro tempore of the Senate. It appearing by certain provisions contained in a late act of the General Assembly of Virginia, entitled An Act Incorporating the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal Company, that the assent of Congress will be necessary to carry the said act into effect, I herewith transmit a copy thereof, that it may be considered with a view to the object contemplated. James Monroe. Left square bracket. The same message was sent to the House of Representatives right square bracket. Washington, February 7, 1825. To the House of Representatives of the United States. I transmit herewith to the House a report from the Secretary of State, with copies of the correspondence relating to the claims of the citizens of the United States upon the government of the Netherlands, requested by a resolution of the House of the 18th of January last. James Monroe, Washington, February 11, 1825. To the House of Representatives of the United States. In compliance with the resolution of the House of Representatives of January 5, I herewith transmit a report from the Secretary of the Navy, with copies of the proceedings of the courts-martial in the cases of Lieutenants Weber and Connor. James Monroe, Washington, February 14, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. I herewith transmit a report from the Secretary of War, with a report to him by the Chief Engineer, of the examination which has been made by the Board of Engineers for internal improvement, in obedience to their instructions, of the country between the Potomac and Ohio Rivers, between the latter and Lake Erie, between the Allegheny and Schuylkill Rivers, the Delaware and the Raritan, between Buzzards and Barnstable Bays, and the Narragansett Roads and Boston Harbor, with explanatory observations in each route. From the view which I have taken of these reports, I contemplate results of incalculable advantage to our Union, because I see in them the most satisfactory proof that certain impediments which had a tendency to embarrass the intercourse between some of its most important sections may be removed without serious difficulty, and that facilities may be afforded in other quarters which will have the happiest effect. Of the right in Congress to promote these great results by the appropriation of the public money, in harmony with the states to be affected by them, having already communicated my sentiments fully and in mature consideration, I deem it unnecessary to enlarge at this time. James Monroe, Washington, February 16, 1825. To the House of Representatives of the United States. I transmit to the House of Representatives a report from the Secretary of State, containing the information called for by their resolution of the first of this month, touching the capture and detention of American fishermen during the last season. James Monroe, Washington, February 17, 1825. To the House of Representatives of the United States. I herewith transmit to the House a report from the Secretary of State, with copies of the correspondence with the Government of France, requested by the resolution of the House of the 25th of January last. James Monroe, Washington, February 17, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. I invite the attention of Congress to the peculiar situation of this district in regard to the exposure of its inhabitants to contagious diseases from abroad, against which it is thought that adequate provisions should now be made. The exposure being common to the whole district, the regulations should apply to the whole, to make which Congress alone possesses the adequate power. That the regulations should be made by Congress is the more necessary from the consideration that this being the seat of the government, its protection against such diseases must form one of its principal objects. James Monroe, Washington, February 21, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. I transmit herewith a report from the Secretary of War, with a report to him from the third auditor, of the settlement in the amount stated of the claims of the state of Massachusetts for services rendered by the militia of that state in the late war, the payment of which has hitherto been prevented by causes which are well known to Congress. Having communicated my sentiments in this subject fully in a message bearing date on the 23rd of February, 1824, it is unnecessary to repeat in detail here what I there advanced. By recurring to that message and to the documents referred to in it, it will be seen that the conduct of the executive of that state in refusing to place the militia thereof at that difficult conjuncture under the direction of the executive of the United States, as it was bound to do by a fair construction of the Constitution, and as the other states did, is the great cause to which the difficulty adverted to is to be ascribed. It will also be seen on a view of those documents that the executive of the state was warned at the time, if it persevered in the refusal, that the consequences which have followed would be inevitable, that the attitude assumed by the state formed a case which was not contemplated by the existing laws of the United States relating to militia services, that the payment of the claims of the state for such services could be provided for by Congress only and by a special law for the purpose. Having made this communication, while acting in the Department of War to the Governor of Massachusetts, with the sanction and under the direction of my enlightened and virtuous predecessor, it would be improper in any view which may be taken of the subject for me to change the ground then assumed, to withdraw this great question from the consideration of Congress, and to act on it myself. Had the executive been in error, it is entitled to censure, making a just allowance for the motive which guided it. If its conduct was correct, the ground then assumed ought to be maintained by it. It belongs to Congress alone to terminate this distressing incident on just principles, with a view to the highest interests of our Union. From the view which I have taken of the subject, I am confirmed in the opinion that Congress should now decide in the claim and allow to the state such portions thereof as are founded in the principles laid down in the former message. If those principles are correct, as on great consideration I am satisfied they are, it appears to me to be just in itself and of high importance that the sums which may be due in conformity therewith should no longer be withheld from the state. James Monroe, Washington, February 21, 1825. The President of the Senate pro tempore. I transmit to the Senate a convention, signed by the plenipotentiaries of the United States and of the Republic of Colombia at Bogota on the 10th of December, 1824, together with the documents appertaining to the negotiation of the same, for the constitutional consideration of the Senate with regard to its ratification. James Monroe, Washington, February 21, 1825. The President of the Senate pro tempore. I transmit to the Senate a convention of general peace, amity, navigation, and commerce, signed by the plenipotentiaries of the United States and of the Republic of Colombia at Bogota on the 3rd of October, 1824, together with the documents appertaining to the negotiation of the same, for the constitutional consideration of the Senate with regard to its ratification. James Monroe, Washington, February 23, 1825. To the House of Representatives. I transmit to the House of Representatives a further report from the Secretary of State, in pursuance of their resolution of the first instant, with the papers to which it refers, upon the subject of the capture and detention of American fishermen the past season in the Bay of Fundy. James Monroe, Washington, February 25, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives. I communicate herewith to both houses of Congress copies of the treaties between the United States and the Quapaw Nation of Indians, concluded at Harrington's, in the territory of Arkansas, in the 15th day of November last, and between the United States and the Choctaw Nation of Indians, concluded at the city of Washington in the 20th day of January last, which have been duly ratified. James Monroe, Washington, February 26, 1825. To the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States. Just before the termination of the last session, an act entitled An Act Concerning Wrecks in the Coast of Florida, which then passed, was presented to me with many others and approved, and, as I thought, signed. A report to that effect was then made to Congress. It appeared, however, after the adjournment that the evidence of such approbation had not been attached to it. Whether the act may be considered in force under such circumstances is a point in which it belongs not to me to decide. To remove all doubt in the subject, I submit to the consideration of Congress the propriety of passing a declaratory act to that effect. James Monroe, Washington, February 28, 1825. To the Senate of the United States. I transmit to the Senate, for the exercise of its constitutional power, a treaty lately concluded at the Indian Springs, by commissioners of the United States duly authorized, with the chiefs of the Creek Nation, assembled there in council, with the documents connected therewith. James Monroe. Proclamation. Left square bracket from Senate Journal, 18th Congress, 2nd Session, p. 269 right square bracket. Washington, January 19, 1825. The President of the United States to Senator for the State of Certain matters touching the public good requiring that the Senate of the United States should be convened in Friday, the 4th day of March next, you are desired to attend at the Senate Chamber, in the City of Washington, in that day, then and there to receive and deliberate on such communications as shall be made to you. James Monroe.